Log Talk Radio.
Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Wednesday, May the 19th. And tonight we're going to be chatting with our friend George Rodriguez from South Texas. We'll be talking about a few stories on the front pages. The first one is what's going to happen here in Texas in 2022, specifically the race for governor. It appears right now that I'm pretty sure that Governor Abbott is running for re-election. He certainly looks like a man running for re-election. He seems to be enjoying some success with the legislature. They just signed a very popular law here in Texas about abortion and heartbeat, a very interesting law that he just signed today. And there's also a lot of talk on the Democrat side about Beto O'Rourke coming in as the candidate, although I wrote a post at the American Thinker, and I want to hear from George in a few minutes. I wrote a post thinking I don't believe he's going to run because I don't think he wants to risk losing one more time. We're also going to talk, as I mentioned, a little bit about the Mississippi abortion law, which is somewhat similar to the one here in Texas. Well, similar in the sense that it promotes the idea that the states can regulate abortion. They're different. Mississippi is 15 weeks and Texas is a heartbeat law, but the idea of the two is the same, that the states can regulate abortion. Then, of course, we'll get our weekly update on what's happening on the border. So let me say hello to our friend George Rodriguez as soon as we can get him on here. Hi, George. How are you?
We're good, my man. How are you doing?
How's the weather in San Antonio?
It's beautiful today. I mean, well, it started out rainy. It started out really, really rainy, but it got really, really beautiful. And this evening is gorgeous. I mean, there's clear sky. The weather, temperature is about something like 65, and very, very little humidity. So it just feels great outside. It is absolutely spectacular.
But they call it a Chamber of Commerce Day? Is that what
these days?
It's
literally a Chamber of Commerce Day. It is gorgeous.
Well, we were supposed to get rain all of today, and we didn't get any. So it's kind of strange, I mean, because, you know, yesterday they were forecasting rain all of today, and as it turned out, it didn't come. Now they're not forecasting anything until tomorrow morning, and then I guess tomorrow will be a little bit rainy, certainly during the rush hour time. Well, George, I want to pick up on a couple of topics here. Texas 2022, just right around the corner. The abortion law that just passed here in Texas, as well as the one headed to the Supreme Court, the Mississippi abortion law. And then, you know, we'll get your weekly update on the border. But let's start with Texas 2022. I want to get your thoughts on this because I wrote a post over at the American Thinker. I don't believe that Beto O'Rourke is running for governor. And the main reason is that I don't think he wants to run against a well-funded and popular Governor Abbott. Also, I think the cycle of 2022 is going to be totally different than 2018. I mean, all the stars were lined up perfectly for Beto in 2018. That's not going to be the case in 2022. And I also think he went too far to the left as a presidential candidate. So my conclusion is that he's not running. I also don't think the Castro twins are interested in running. So I have no idea who the Democrat nominee is going to be. But that's kind of my assessment. I'm anxious to hear from you on this, George.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think that there's nothing worse for a politician than to be a perpetual loser. And this is, you know, what he's in danger of becoming is just an absolute loser every time that he runs. And, you know, the reality is that, you know, he's got nothing to offer. He really has nothing, you know, no policies or charisma. I mean, he's got nothing. He really doesn't. So I tend to agree. I don't think he's going to run. I also believe very, very strongly from what I see and hear here in South Texas is that the Democrats are extremely worried, over what the impact of the border crisis is going to have on them in these elections. We had who I consider to be one of the most liberal Democrat mayors from Del Rio, a young man named Suarez, who is, I mean, he's openly gay. He is a drag queen, a former drag queen. He is very, very liberal, very, very much to the left. Well, he was on Fox News 2 days ago denouncing the Biden administration. So, I mean, when it's reached that point, he was denouncing them in very strong terms over the border crisis. He recognizes, and so do all of the other Democrats along the border, recognize that they, you know, that things were okay under Trump, and they could gripe, and nobody would, you know, the media would go along with them. But now they're in deep water. I mean, they are in deep water because of the citizens. So I don't know who the Democrats are going to pick for governor or to run against Cornyn or Cruz, rather. I think it is. I am not sure exactly how they're going to handle the elections because the sentiments are extremely strong against Biden and Harris and the Democrats in general.
Yeah. Well, I think what's interesting to me is that if you go back, I think the Democrats and sort of thought that the 2018 had been the turning point for Democrats here in Texas, meaning that they had sort of turned the corner, and from now on, it would be easier for them to win in Texas. And I think that's the lesson they took out of the Beto O'Rourke campaign. And look, you got to give Beto credit; he did very well. He got 48% of the vote, but everything, it changed in 2020. It kind of went back to being a red state again, and I think it's going to be even more red in 2022 because of the redistricting, which is going to make it even more difficult, I believe, for some Democrats to hold on to their seats. I mean, any Democrat who won the last election by 5 points or less, I think is super vulnerable to redistricting. Because
I agree.
Because I'm sure the legislature will figure out some way of drawing those districts. I mean, there's going to be, two new districts, right? Two new seats, which means that they're going to have to get those two seats out of somewhere, and I'm pretty sure that some of some Democrats in more competitive districts are going to find themselves in an even more competitive district than before. But I don't see any Democrat. I was thinking about the Castro twins, you know, down in your part of the country, but I don't think either. I think both of them know that they cannot win, and because of that, they don't want to lose. They would rather wait maybe for a different time. So who do they nominate? I mean, it's hard to – who are they going to nominate, George?
Yeah, I mean, it really – they are really in a quandary because the Democrats' national message has not played very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, defunding the police, the open borders issue, the challenges to, education that you've got. I mean, it just, you know, and not to mention the whole pandemic issue. It's just not playing out very, very well. And I'm not sure that there's, you know, an extreme desire by a lot of folks to jump into the race. I just don't think it's there.
Right. I think what a lot of Democrats may be thinking, too, is, you know, certainly I think that this is what Beto O'Rourke is thinking. He's saying, let me try it again in 2024, either against Senator Cruz or somebody else. I'm not 100% convinced, George, that Senator Cruz is going to run for re-election in 2024. But that's just my speculation. I don't have any inside information. But no matter what, I think 2022 will consolidate Texas as a more red state. I really do. And the gains that the Republican Party, is gaining, making gains with Hispanics, for reasons that you yourself have indicated many times, the economy, values. I think this new abortion law is going to work to the Republicans' advantage. So I don't see Beto running, and I see Abbott being reelected fairly easily. Now, there's some talk about this actor. I don't even know his name, but apparently there's an actor out there who wants to run for governor.
Yeah,
I don't
Matthew
think.
McConaughey.
Yeah, I don't see that as being
well, you know, I think if they're again, I think they're grasping for a straw because if there's any, I mean, the guy comes across as a moderate Democrat, and he's well known, well liked. He's photogenic. I mean, you know, he's a movie star.
Right.
So
right.
I mean, those things would, you know, definitely play in his favor. However, you know, I mean, when they start to press him on issues related to on his position on issues, he's strictly Hollywood. So what's he going to do?
Right. No, exactly. And also now the only fear, of course, is that he takes votes from Abbott, and in essence we get a Democrat elected with 41 or 42% of the vote, that type of thing.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you have a division there. And but I don't know. You know, we will have to wait and see. I think the people of Texas are smart enough to know that we don't need an actor right now in politics. I mean, if this fellow wants to run, fine. Maybe he should run for the House, you know, start that way and make a name for himself. But this idea that people are going to start at the very top, I just don't think Texans are going to fall for that, George. I don't see it. And unless there's a Democrat with major name recognition, I think Abbott is in for an easy reelection, George.
Yeah. You know, a lot could happen, definitely. I mean,
sure.
You know, a lot could happen. But I just don't see it happening. I just don't.
Yeah. No, because I think 2022, I think you would agree with me that it's going to be a more favorable cycle for the Republicans than it was back in 2018 when, you know, I mean, they were out to get Cruz. I mean, Cruz was like the number one target in the country.
Yeah, right.
And Beto O'Rourke was getting money from everywhere. They also don't have the straight party vote anymore, which I think was very helpful to Beto in 2018, George.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. I mean, the only thing that they've got their hat that they could hang their hats on at this point is expanding somehow the issue of absentee voting because of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if COVID becomes blasé, like it looks like it's becoming, then, you know, demanding absentee ballots by the dozens, it's not going to work.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think COVID, I really believe that COVID is, or the worst part of COVID is behind us, and I think better days are ahead with respect to COVID. Let me take a little break, George. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the abortion law and the one from Mississippi going to the Supreme Court, and the one in Texas, well, I assume will go to the Supreme Court as well. We'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, chatting with our friend George Rodriguez. George, the state of Mississippi passed a law a couple of years ago limiting abortions or regulating abortions within 15 weeks, making it illegal, I guess, That's what I'm trying to say, after 15 weeks. And it's made it to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court has agreed to hear that law. People are calling that law in Mississippi rather radical, but in fact, it's very much in the mainstream of what most countries around the world are doing with respect to abortion. That is, they allow abortion, but only within a certain period of time. There's only about 6 or 7 countries in the world that have unconditional abortion. Sadly, the United States is one of them. But to me, this is not so much a challenge to Roe v. Wade as it is simply the idea that the states should have the right to regulate abortion. And the heartbeat law is another example of that, George. So I want to get your reaction to all of this and where you think it's going.
Well, first of all, the issue that it's a state's right to regulate, that that is a continuous battle that you hear in the among legal scholars over anything that a state does is always challenged. You know, does the federal government have preeminence over it? Is there a clause or is there a phrase in the Constitution that covers it? In this case, the pro-abortion folks are trying to claim that, you know, that the federal government's right to health and safety of individuals is jeopardized if a state decides to enact an unsafe law, and they claim that this is an unsafe law. You know, those of us that are conservative understand that this is that the name of the country is the United States, and the whole idea of Bill of Rights, rather, the whole idea of the Bill of Rights is for the citizens of states to have the rights enumerated that the federal government cannot touch. So from the very, very beginning, the idea is that we are citizens of states first and the federal government second. Well, mm-hmm. You know, this battle is going to rage now. And it was something that I definitely think that the Biden administration and the Democrats didn't want to do it, at least not right now until they had packed the courts. The other issue is that we've got to remember that, you know, they have proposed all sorts of social legislation that could be jeopardized now once this falls. I remember about 15 years ago, mm-hmm. the state of California, of all places, had a law voted on a law that the state would not recognize same-sex marriages. Well, the true to form, the liberals and the leftists ran to the courts. The courts turned it over, and that was it. Mm-hmm. Now they are in jeopardy that it might go the other way now. Mm-hmm. And there is just all sorts of angst among the Democrats over there. And again, the reality of it is that at some point we have got to determine when life begins. Mm-hmm. There has to be we can't just continue to abortion on demand be allowed because, you know, or let it grow so many, in my opinion, and you know, I mm-hmm. think that the statistics show it, but in my opinion, the vast majority of abortions are not related to health. They are just
right.
Somebody, you know, had an oops moment or an overpassionate moment. And so, you know, people have got to be responsible for their behavior.
Right.
And this situation of once there's a heartbeat detected, for crying out loud, it is a human being. It is alive.
Right.
It's not a tumor.
Exactly. Yes. No, you're exactly right. And I've always felt that the greatest mistake of Roe v. Wade was to, in essence, impose a national standard, if you will, to the topic of abortion, and to say that, you know, everybody has to live play by these rules.
Yeah.
That's the first one, because I always felt that it was a state issue, and that the voters should be the ones really deciding something as sensitive as because at least if you let the voters decide, you might be able to work out a compromise, you know, with the voters and with the legislature. You might be able to work a compromise where you say, okay, we're going to have abortions in the first 10 weeks or 12 weeks or whatever, as is the case in most countries where abortion has been decided by the legislature. But I think for me, I do believe, George, I think the Supreme Court is going to rule in favor of Mississippi. At this moment, I don't know if it's going to be 5-4 or 6-3. 6-3, of course, if Roberts goes along. And I'm going to give Roberts the benefit of the doubt, because I think, you know, he voted against same-sex marriage. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt on this one. But at the very least, I think it'll be 5-4. And the issue will come back to the states where it should have never left. I mean, abortion should have always been a state issue decided by voters. And, you know, that's where it should be. If the people of Texas want to have a law that says no abortion if there's a heartbeat, we in Texas are entitled to that. Because, you know, to me, living in Texas, living in a state is more than just living there. You know, you want to live in a place where your values are projected, and if those are the values of the voters of Texas, well, let it be, George. If other states don't want to have those values, that's their choice. But that this is what we choose in Texas, and we should have every right to have those choices, George.
Well, and again, that's the beauty of the founding of our nation. That is the beauty, is that people can congregate according to their values. You know, if the state of New York and the state of California want to fund and allow for abortions, there is nothing that, you know, that these laws, that these proposed laws and legislation, they don't say anything about California or New York. They
right.
want to do it, be my guest. So,
that's it.
Again, it shows the power grab. You've got to do it my way or the highway attitude mm-hmm. that these Democrats continually show in anything. I mean,
right.
you know, why does New York and California want to tell Texas, you know, when the conception of life begins? What's
right.
their business?
Exactly. Exactly. No, I think you're exactly right. Now, I also think, George, that this abortion law, talking about Texas 22, Texas 2022, I think this could be a problem with Hispanics. You remember when Wendy Davis ran
yes.
for governor, and she was very closely identified with the abortion issue when she ran for governor in 2014. And her numbers in South Texas were terrible because
yes, that's right.
you know, a lot of Hispanic women did not want to, you know, did not identify with abortion. And even Beto O'Rourke, you know, did not talk a lot about abortion in 2018. I mean, he basically took a sort of a distant attitude. He didn't mention it much. He just kind of said, well, you know, he was very vague about abortion because I think he understood that it would be a problem in the Hispanic community. So I think this heartbeat law, now, maybe you know the answer to this, George, but I heard the governor today when he signed it or shortly after he signed it, saying that he had bipartisan support for this law, that it was not just a Republican, you know, down the line pure Republicans. Do you know, are you aware of how many Democrats voted for this, George?
I think there was only one. There is
okay.
a staunch pro-life Democrat just south of San Antonio, and I'm trying to remember his name. He's a Hispanic gentleman, and I cannot
okay.
for the life of me remember his name. But he
so
is staunch-
it was just one then?
Yeah, he's staunchly pro-life, and
mm-hmm.
You know, I'm pretty sure that he's the one.
Okay, so most of the Democrats, what you're saying is most of the Democrats, even Hispanic Democrats, supported or I guess were against the heartbeat law, which it really surprises me, because I don't know how those Democrats, Hispanic Democrats, are going to be able to go back into their communities, honestly, and
yeah.
argue that. I mean, I don't know on what grounds
you know,
argue.
Again, quite often, what happens is that is that their own home newspapers, their small newspapers, won't say anything about it. I mean, they won't proclaim, and they won't debate as to what these Democrats did. So therefore, you know, a lot of people don't know what they did.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think you're probably right on that, and that's why they tend to get away with it, because they don't get the backlash back home. But I don't understand how many of these Democrats can go back into Hispanic communities that are very religious and very conservative and defend the idea of terminating a life, even if there's a heartbeat. I mean, that is, to me, is about as human as it can get. Well, George, I want to get a quick roundup here of the border and what you're hearing down there. The numbers are pretty high. It does seem, I do kind of get the impression that the Biden administration really doesn't have a clue of what to do. They've opened this door, and they don't know how to shut it down. And now I think they're just they're helpless. They don't seem to know what to do. And as you mentioned, the mayor in South Texas and others, I think some Democrats are starting to realize that this is going to be a problem for them, George.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, and it continues to get worse, because what's happening, mm-hmm. and I've interviewed several ranchers the past few days. Mm-hmm. What seems to be happening is that the aliens are getting even more aggressive. There have been sightings of folks on the U.S. side with rifles. There have been stashes of guns have been found, and it's really getting bad. The carjackings in some communities have gotten worse. People try to make sure that their gas tanks are filled every time that they are going to go out, especially if they're going to go out in the evening, because they don't want to stop off at a
mm-hmm.
filling station or a convenience store. Even some HEBs have become scary. So it's a bad situation, and the other part of that problem is that we've got a mainstream media that seems to be completely ignoring it.
Right.
The San Antonio Express ran an article, a very sympathetic article about the aliens,
mm-hmm.
But they didn't say anything. They haven't said anything about the problems that the ranchers and citizens are facing. So
yeah.
it's really, really a dichotomy that we're looking at of, you know, how the Biden administration has effectively cast this whole situation in their minds, or trying to cast it, as one of sympathy for the foreigner, while the citizens are suffering. And in my opinion, you know, that's not, I can tell you right now that it's not playing well on Main Street down here, as well as I think that it's, you know, that the Democrats are going to pay a price for that.
Yeah. Well, that's what I think. Now, you are correct. The mainstream media has toned it down quite a bit. Even the Dallas Morning News here, it used to be running a lot of articles about the border. And right now they're not. I mean, very rarely do you see coverage of the border. Now, again, we're not, you know, we're 500 miles away, but still, you know, we're impacted to some degree. We have, you know, people here in the convention center who are living here who were brought from the border. But I do think the word is getting out, George, and it's getting out because I think the mainstream media has less and less influence. And all these alternative sources have more.
Yes,
and
definitely.
And you have, you have, of course, Fox News is covering it. Newsmax is covering it. But, you know, they reach millions of people. I mean, let's not forget that. They reach millions of people. And, of course, you have the you know, the other places that talk about it. So I think most Americans are unhappy with what's happening on the border because they see it as chaotic, and they wish that, you know, I've never felt that Americans are against asylum. They just want something orderly, and where you don't have, you know, so you don't have this chaos on the border, and then on top of that, in the middle of a pandemic. I mean, that's the other thing. I'd love to know who came up with the idea of letting 200, 300,000 people into the country in the middle of a pandemic. That right there is about as negligent as it can get, George.
Yeah, it is really, you know, my grandfather used to say that, you know, you try to tapar el sol con un dedo. You try to
hide
the sun with a finger. And
exactly.
I'm sorry, this cat's out of the bag. This border issue, border crisis, Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas sheriffs, community groups, I mean, they are fit to be tied.
Well, there's no question about it. Senator Mark Kelly, I think it's his name in Arizona, who's running for reelection, he's unhappy with it. And you're right. I think a lot of the border politicians are very unhappy with it because they're the ones that have to deal with the day-to-day crisis, like you're indicating, carjackings and all the crime associated with it. But as I mentioned before, the idea that you would open up the country when you're trying to get out of a pandemic, and then on top of that you would create this opportunity for criminal elements, that I think in both cases you're it's negligent. I mean, I don't know how else to describe it. I mean, the only people who seem to be benefiting from all of this movement of people are the criminal elements south of the border, who are having a grand time bringing people up here and charging them money, and God only knows, you know, what happens to their families north of the border, you know, whether their families north of the border are also going to end up having to pay for these travels. So it's insane to me, George, what we're watching. It's just total insanity. I have no idea who came up with this, but I think the Democrats should pay a very heavy political price for this kind of irresponsibility, George.
Yeah, I just, you know, this situation, it just smacks of anti-Americanism, and I just don't see how you can defend it. I just don't see how you can defend it.
No, you can't. I mean, there's absolutely no, you know, you could defend in the abstract. You can defend asylum laws. You can say the United States has always been a generous country. I'm proof of that myself. Our family came here that way. So you can say, you know, the United States should keep its asylum laws and invite people to the country or accept people in the country who are running away from, in our family's case, from a communist regime. That's a tradition that I think maybe we should keep. But it has to be done in an orderly fashion. You can't just have people show up at your border and say, I want to seek asylum, and then all of a sudden people are coming in from a lot of countries that you don't know who they are. They once they're in, you don't know where they go. It's just insanity, just total, complete insanity. It's negligence. And as I mentioned a minute ago, I think the Democrats should pay a very heavy price for what they're doing to the country, George.
They really do. I mean, this situation right now, I mean, take for example, Biden shuts down on the first day the American pipeline, and then, you know, on Monday he approves for the opening of a pipeline from Russia to Germany. I just don't understand that. I really don't.
No, it makes no sense. It makes no sense whatsoever. Also, by shutting down the Keystone Pipeline, as you indicated, he exposes the country to what happened next with the Colonial Pipeline. When that one shut down, that was more difficult now because we didn't have the other pipeline running. So
That's right.
It just makes no sense what we're watching. It just makes absolutely no sense. And then to make matters worse, now you've got signs of inflation. George, you and I remember inflation. And
oh,
that's
God.
Not something that either one of us. Yeah, you don't want to repeat that under any circumstances. Well, George, thank you as always for joining us and giving us your time, and congratulations on all the great work that you're doing down in South Texas, and let's do this again.
You got it, buddy. Whenever you're ready, I'll be here.
All right. Thank you so much. Our good friend George Rodriguez down in South Texas. George has a page now in Facebook you can follow. He also has several other things on the Internet that you can follow. So just put his name and you'll be able to find him. We have a link to a lot of that on the show information as well. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. Man, we have a lot of stuff to cover. I mean, there's a lot of stuff on the table to talk about these days. Have a wonderful evening, everybody. Talk to you later.